Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house as we're privileged to lift up worship and praise to God. We would like to encourage everyone to please sign the registration pad, if you will, and pass that on to your neighbor. And in the bulletin, notice the flyer for the announcements to lift up the food pantry drive and also the warmth tree collection. We're certainly grateful for all of your contributions to both. We also want to lift up, there's no potluck lunch for January this year. Instead, we'll be focusing on the one for February, and more information will be coming on about that in the weeks ahead. I think these are really all the announcements. A short number, since we're now out of the Advent season and all the Christmas activities. And so, Ryan, I call upon you for our call to worship.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I invite you to stand for the call to worship today. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his temple.
Praise his strength in the heavens. Praise him for the mighty things he has done.
Praise his supreme greatness.
Praise the Lord, all living creatures.
Praise the Lord. We'll now sing hymn number 67, all stanzas of O God, our help in ages past.
O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, still may we dwell secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received its frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. A thousand ages in thy sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. Time like an ever-rolling stream soon bears us all away. We fly forgotten at the opening day. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our guide while life shall last, and our eternal.
May we pray. Merciful God, as the new year of 2024 unfolds, we are privileged to assemble peacefully and without fear of reprisal on this Lord's Day morning. We pray, O God, that in our minds and hearts we can put aside the distractions of our daily endeavors and feel the fulfilling presence of your Spirit's assurance. For as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's in his name that we offer this prayer in celebration. Amen.
Glory be to
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now and ever shall be.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. It's so nice to have a stage full again. Okay. Well, this morning, they always steal the show, don't they? Yesterday was Epiphany. Last week we talked a little bit about Epiphany, or the Day of the Magi. Today is the official end of Christmastide. Did you know the Christmas celebration went all the way through today? It does. Today we remember the baptism of Jesus. It's part of what we remember and celebrate during Christmas time is the revealing of Christ to the world in different ways. The Magi were one of the ways, his birth, his baptism. We have lots and lots and lots of things here that we celebrate. Christian celebrations. Some of them are big, like Christmas and Easter. Some of them are smaller. Also, we have Jewish celebrations and Jewish teachings that we remember. We use the Ten Commandments. They were given to Moses. He was a Jewish. He was Hebrew, wasn't he? Sure. We remember Passover. We don't do it.
As we go to God in prayer this morning, a word of celebration as Don Stone anticipates returning home from the hospital today. He has just made remarkable progress since he had that aortic heart valve replaced as well as triple bypass surgery done over a week ago. We just made remarkable progress. We're so grateful for that. And we'll lift up Don and Diana in prayer as they are both home, and Diana has some health concerns she deals with day by day as well. We're going to lift up Bob Maddox in prayer again, as we're mindful he'll be going through the same type of surgery on the 16th of this month of January at St. Luke's on the Plaza. We also want to lift up Ruth Ann Solomon. Tomorrow afternoon she will be undergoing a knee surgery, and that will be taking place at St. Luke's Hospital here on Berry Road, as we lift her up in prayer. Also, we continue to keep in prayer Alan Pipps and Brady Holmes, Edna Williams, Jerry, we keep you and Betty in prayer every day. And certainly among some of our family members, we do want to lift up Doris McGehee's daughter-in-law, Cindy, and Doris's son, John. Cindy is now home from the hospital and making steady progress, but we still need to keep her in prayer. And Perla, we're lifting up your neighbors, Mary and Joanna, and their concerns. So with all of these people upon our hearts, let's lift up a word of prayer before God. Holy God, even though the weather may be gloomy on this wintry January morning, we know our hearts can be filled with the warmth of your Spirit's presence. For as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, that it is God's Spirit that lives within us. We rejoice in the privilege to assemble in your house to offer you worship and praise. And even as Epiphany has brought the season of Christmastide to a close, we rejoice in the truth that the message and presence of Christ dwells among us through the blessing of your Holy Spirit every day. We rejoice in the truth of John chapter 1, verse 14, that tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that in Christ we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And even though so much of our world, O God, still rages on with violence, tragedy, and difficulty, we pray that as the new year begins, we will be resolved to uphold a living witness by your great love. For as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 7 and 8, that love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fail, for love is eternal. Guide us in our endeavors that may bring glory to your kingdom here on earth, in whatever ways are possible for us in this day and time. For it is in the name of Christ that we offer this prayer, and as we also recite the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. On Palm Sunday, Lambing Day, the day in which the Passover lamb was selected, tradition tells us that Jesus entered the Jerusalem temple by way of the Sheep Gate. Even as he was declaring himself to be that final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of sin, this Sheep Gate was the same entry point by which the unblemished lambs for the sin sacrifice were also led into the temple for their final inspection and to be certified as that offering to God. Even as we have already discovered that Jesus was likely born in the stable beneath the watchtower of the flock outside of Bethlehem, which is where the lambs of the sacrifice were also born, we discover another very deliberate way here in which God conveys very specific signs and signals as to how Christ was truly to be the final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of our sin. The Lord's Supper, in which we partake every Sunday morning, is yet another poignant sign through which God declares that Christ has made the offering once and for all. And as Hebrew chapters 10, verses 10 through 14 tells us, to make perfect all who are purified from sin. This is what we celebrate as we gather around the Lord's table and partake of the bread and the cup. As we prepare our hearts, we turn to our hymn number 91, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, as we sing stanzas 1 and 5, please.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all, bring forth the sacred throng, we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown
as we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Anna leads us in a word of prayer, please.
Lord, today is a new beginning, new day, new year, new life. As we gather here today, we remember the one thing that remains the same is your love for us. These emblems remind us of the past, but give us hope for our future. Lord, bless these emblems and all who take of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 and 8 tell us that God loves the one who gives gladly, and that God is able to give us more than we need so that we will always have all we need for ourselves and more than enough for every good cause. With these thoughts in mind, Lana leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this bright, sunny day as we begin a new year. We're thankful for the many blessings that you've given in the year past. We thank you for this wonderful congregation of giving, loving people. We just pray that as we take these tithes and offerings now, that these will go to people who will be able to realize there is love in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. For this morning's message, I'll be lifting up the scripture text as we make our way through the message because they fit the storyline as we journey forward rather than to read them now and then repeat everything a little later. And what I'm doing today is I decided to extend this A Sign for Us series one more message because I think we've got some interesting information here to share about David and his connection with Jesus and this forever kingdom. May we pray. Holy and gracious God, as we explore and affirm your prophetic messages in Scripture, we are encouraged by the reassurance that your kingdom of heaven will endure for all time and that we will be privileged to be a part of it. For this greatest of all assurances, we give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. For those of you that watch the remodeling shows on the television, you're aware that many of those programs attempt to get people into what they call their forever home, right? Some of you are aware of those stories, right? I see some of you watch those and see that. But you know, as someone who has watched many families and certainly many individuals reduce one's household down and down and even further down through the course of one's final years, I am reminded on nearly a daily basis that one's so-called forever home in this earthly realm certainly is not forever. As I've mentioned before, when my father passed into the Lord's presence back in 1993, there was absolutely nothing of a personal nature to give back to the family. We gave up on keeping framed pictures on his nightstand simply because they repeatedly disappeared, and he had so much difficulty seeing them anyway. Personal clothing became inconsequential, given that he was in a vegetative state for more than 3 years. When my brother passed into the Lord's presence this past summer after being bedridden for about 3 years, his personal belongings fit into a couple of sacks. Yet, you know, as people of faith, you and me, we celebrate our faith in God through Christ. And we can certainly embrace not an illusion of a forever home made of brick and mortar, but rather the forever kingdom that is assured by our living Lord Jesus. We remember that Jesus told his disciples, as he says to you and me even today in John chapter 14, beginning with the first verse, "Do not be worried and upset. Believe in God and believe also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I am going to prepare a place for you. And when I come back, I will take you unto myself so that you may be where I am." And the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 1. The text tells us that this place is an eternal house in heaven, not built with human hands. These recent thoughts of God's forever kingdom have led me to believe that in our study of Bethlehem and the watchtower of the flock that we have been looking at since the 17th of December, has one further prophetic message worth considering in this sermon series. We first remember the text that I shared with you throughout this series, and it's from Amos chapter 3, verse 7. It states in the New International Version, "Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets." This text continues to tell us through the centuries, God has always been very deliberate and methodical in his efforts to explain his salvation plan for humanity It's just that we need to know the text in order to affirm God's truths. And as we take an even closer look at the vicinity of Bethlehem and the watchtower of the flock and their ties to the Messiah's birth, we realize that the story of David and his kingship also has very deliberate and prophetic connections, not only to this place, but truly to the Messiah. The sign unto us that the full lineage of David's kingship leads to is the ultimate fulfillment of the Messiah's forever kingdom through Christ our Lord, as this continued string of prophecy is well worth exploring on our part. We all remember that David was the shepherd boy who slew the giant Goliath. The young boy's faith was so strong that he says to Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45, "You're coming against me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." Yes, indeed, he had his skills as a competent young shepherd boy. And God used those skills, but the main thing about David was that he felt like he had the power of God's presence with him, behind him with every move, right? What many may not remember is that in the shadow of the watchtower of the flock, that this is the place where David tended his family's sheep in these fields just outside of Bethlehem. Many may also not know that in 1 Samuel chapter 16, the text tells us that God instructed the prophet Samuel to go to Bethlehem. It was there that young David was called out from his shepherding duties in those fields. It was there that Samuel was instructed to anoint young David to be the new king of Israel. So we see a significant biblical tie between David, his kingship, and this connection with Bethlehem and the watchtower of the flock. And God's prophetic message through the centuries is that the kingship of David shall indeed endure forever, as David's kingship is connected to God's forever kingdom through Christ. Now, this leads me then to the text that I've selected for this morning's message. We first of all look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and 13, and then verse 16. Nathan was the court prophet during the time of David's kingship. And in a portion of Nathan's prophetic message to David, Nathan repeatedly tells David that his kingship will endure forever. Let's look at the verses here, verse 12 and continuing. "When you die and are buried with your ancestors, I will make one of your sons king." Of course, that was Solomon. "And will keep his kingdom strong. He will be the one to build the temple for me." And of course, that's why it's called Solomon's Temple. "And I will make sure that his dynasty continues forever. You will always have descendants, and I will make your kingdom last forever. Your dynasty will never end." Now, how is it that the kingdom doesn't end? It's not a matter of earthly kings continuing on and on. It is a matter of Christ becoming the King of Kings and his kingship lasting forever. And this is revealed and fulfilled in the Gospels. As we look at this text that is so familiar to us that we read every Advent season, we read Luke chapter 1, this story of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and announcing the birth of Jesus. But for today, our focus is on verses 32 and 33. The text tells us that Gabriel is saying to Mary, "You'll become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God." We say, "Yeah, we remember that part, preacher," right? Here's what we often forget. The Lord God will make him king, as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Here in Luke's gospel, we are told that it is Jesus who will continue the lineage of the kingship of David, and that this kingship will indeed not only span the generations, but that it will certainly last for all eternity. In Christ, as the text says, his kingdom will never end. So from David to Jesus, and for all time, there is for certain a forever kingdom. And as important as these texts are for us for understanding this prophecy of God's forever kingdom, we understand that these are not the only texts. There are several others. I give you a couple of more examples. Psalm 89, verses 3 through 4, where God tells us, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. And of course, we know that happens through who? Not an earthly king, but Christ as the King of Kings. And there is also that familiar text from Isaiah that prophesies about the coming of the Messiah, Isaiah chapter 9. We're familiar with it, are we not? But we focus on the text here that says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Now we may ask, well, Pastor, what does all this have to do with where we're at today? Well, first of all, we need to back up and recognize that the reason why there's so much emphasis upon the lineage of the house of David, his kingship, and how it carries all the way forward to the time of Christ, is that there is this genuine attempt to encourage Jewish folks to understand that Jesus is the Messiah they've been looking for, right? Because it had been a prophecy of Jewish tradition that the Messiah would come from this lineage of the house of David. That's why Matthew spends, you know, that big chunk of the first chapter of the gospel telling you all those names that none of us ever read. We just skip that part, right? Yes, no. Do you skip that part? I got to see if y'all are awake today. Y'all normally skip that part, right? But yet, for the Jewish tradition, that was so profoundly significant. But for you and for me, what we must remember, especially as I shared this with you in that afterlife sermon series just a few weeks back, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 tell us that during the first part of Christ's second coming, Christ our Lord will come down from heaven and assemble the saints of the church to meet up with him in the clouds above the earth. This is the beginning of us being joined up with Christ in God's forever kingdom. And what this should offer you and me is a profound measure of hope. Yeah, if you're focused so much on that forever home, it probably has repairs. It's probably got something broken. It probably not quite fitting something some way, somehow. Or if you live long enough, there'll come that day when you gotta leave it, right? And you see, as you get older, things just start getting whittled away in this earthly realm. It's just part of the journey. But for you and me as brothers and sisters in Christ, I think what we need to understand is all of that stuff, all of this stuff about the things of the world always seeming like they're going to fall apart, is just God's way of reminding, this is temporary. This doesn't count that much. What counts the most is the forever kingdom of Christ. And so we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, as the text tells us, God in his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. A wonderful inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for us. And so outside on the sign, there's yet another verse of reassuring prophecy about God's forever kingdom. Chapter 145, verse 13. The sign simply says, King forever. But the text tells us, your kingdom, if you will, O God, is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. So today I end this series. I kind of stretched it out to four messages since the 17th of December. I hope that what this series has done for you, as I know it certainly has for me, is to truly reveal the significance of the Old Testament prophecy and how it all ties together in a very sequential and significant pathway, revealing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It is amazing to see how often we are led back to Bethlehem and to what? Migdal Eder, the watchtower of the flock. And I bet that there's a number of you that never heard of Migdal Eder before this series. Is that right? Right? You never heard of it. We always think about Jesus being born in wooden things, you know, that we see in the Walmart store. No. The prophecy of Scripture tells us, from what I've shared with you, it's likely he was born in the stable underneath Migdal Eder, the watchtower of the flock. It's the same area where even young David took care of sheep in the shadow of the watchtower of the flock. It is the same area where David was anointed king, and yet the prophecy tells us that there will be a greater king coming, and he is Christ, and his kingdom will last forever. Are you on board? If you're not, today's your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. As you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation as we turn to hymn number 72. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 3, To God Be the Glory. 72, please.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. but purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
It's a joy to see you in the Lord's house this Sunday morning. We wish you the very best as you journey forward through the new week. May we pray. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us to experience the great assurances we have through your word and through the presence of Christ and indeed the presence of your Holy Spirit. As we step forward in the new week, may we indeed experience your strength, renewal, and hope in all things. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Light of the world, you people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the magi and the shepherds have found their way home, the work of Christmas is begun. I am the light of the world. You people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be. To bring freedom to every task you do, to dance at a baby's new birth, to make music in an old person's heart, and sing to the colors of the earth. I am the light of the world. You people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you'll learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be.